Welcome to the Ether. Today is Monday, February 6th, 2023. Today on the Ether, what is past is prologue. A look into Lavana's DeFi future. Hosted by Cosmos Haas. And actually, I think we have an award for Jonathan Karas here for the most rugged in one space. I think the man got rugged like four or five times, I think, and like just kept on going. So shout out to you for your persistence. Let's take a listen.
Hello. What's going on? Can you hear me?
Hey, hey, Cosmos Haas. Haas, how's it going? How are you today?
Doing well. I just got up from my power nap. I wasn't an all-nighter, so I needed to get a few hours of sleep to do this. It was one of those like nights I just couldn't sleep, so I was like laying there forever trying to sleep. Then I'm like, screw it, I'm up, and I just started getting some work done. But then I'm like, you know what, just so I'm not brain dead today, because I have like two or three spaces today, and whenever I don't get any sleep, sometimes I just don't make any sense. So here we go.
Oh man, I go absolutely delirious if I don't get enough sleep. So I appreciate you one, taking the time to get a power nap. I'm sorry, you know, that's unfortunate that you didn't have a good night's sleep. It's amazing how we spend about a third of our life, or I mean, let's be realistic, a quarter of our life in a comatose space, and we all just kind of like chalk that off as like, you know, no big deal. But it's definitely, you know, something that is, you know, it's almost like a superpower if you can function on less sleep. But at the end of the day, I think sleep is an amazing thing, and if you are lucky to have enough of it, then you've got a great life.
So, yeah, I usually don't get like I usually don't get like. Good.
No, go ahead. Sorry, there's a slight delay.
I was gonna say is I usually don't get too jealous of anyone or anything, but like the way that my wife can just like pass out and just sleep, and I get a little envious of it, because I can't shut my brain off sometimes. It's just like I sit there, I keep thinking about stuff. Like last night, I had so many cool, good ideas. I'm like, I couldn't shut my brain off. And then, you know, just tossing and turning. And then, like I said, the most frustrating part is like not being able to go to sleep. And then you're just like, all right, whatever. Might as well just get up. So anyhow, there it is. You know, it's all good, man. I'm excited awesome. To be here. I was going to say, I haven't talked to you guys in quite a while. I don't remember. Was it you that I met in Texas when you guys went to Osmo? You went to the Central, then you were at OsmoCon. Can't remember who it was. But I got a cool deck of cards from you guys. I remember that. Someone gave me a cool deck of Lavana cards.
Oh, a little bit hearing you. It's rain and cold here. If we get disconnected, I apologize in advance, and I'll jump back to give you a second to connect to Wi-Fi here.
While he's doing that, shout out to everyone stopping by. I hope your Monday's going well.
Okay, testing, 1, 2, 3. Haas, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound good.
Awesome. Okay, so let's get started. So today is February 6th. It's 2023. I'm Jonathan Karas. I do communications at Lavana. Lavana is a DeFi protocol building on Osmosis. We were formerly building on Terra. We have an NFT collection called the Lavana Dragons, and we've been around for about a year and a half now. We're a small team, roughly 8 people, And, you know, we've gone through some ups and downs in the last year, and we've been off the radar and, you know, kind of on a sabbatical of social media for about 5 weeks now. So very excited to share with everybody the new year and everything that, you know, we're excited to, you know, to ship and to bring to market. I do want to give the obvious caveat that, you know, nothing that's shared in this spaces should be viewed as financial advice, and any forward-looking statements, you know, should be with a cap, because as we've all seen many times before in crypto, what people plan on doing and what actually happens can have a huge gap. So as long as everybody understands those caveats, I think that we can have a great conversation. So
yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, so I want to run through a rather large tweet thread that the Levana team put together. This actually took about 3 weeks to put together. So it started, you know, towards the middle, I guess, the middle of January, and it really outlined a lot of the focus and vision of Levana moving forward, and really just trying to get back to Levana's roots, you know, to delve into the core elements of crypto and of building within the crypto space that inspired many of the people on the team to, you know, to dedicate their life to this industry. And so we're going to run through it, and, you know, Haas, you know, feel free to jump in anytime, you know, as I go through this tweet thread. Just, you know, for comments or questions or anything like that. And then, you know, as always at the end, we'll open it up for anybody that wants to, you know, have questions or comments or give feedback. And then we'll, you know, close up the space, and hopefully we'll be able to cover this all in about an hour. Sounds good?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So I'm gonna read and paraphrase. So we started, you know, yesterday, with the tweet, which now has actually seen over 31,000 views. It's probably the most popular or prolific tweet that Levana has ever made. It says, "Get ready for Cosmos growth in 2023. Levana is excited to be a part of this adventure, and the Levana path to launch is clear. You can read a blog post, which is on the Levana Medium page, or you can scroll down in this very long tweet thread to learn more." Then there's an image which outlines that Levana is hard at work on getting our highly anticipated Osmos Perps launched, which is targeting Q2 of 2023. And this is most similar to GMX, but it's GMX on Cosmos, but it's got a bunch of innovations. And just like how GMX and many of the other perps platforms have NFT integration, the intention here is to integrate NFTs as well. So that means that the egg holders, there will be a way to integrate the NFTs from the eggs and the dust from the previous Levana GameFi projects into the perps product, which then will result in the birth of the Levana Dragons, which is something that we've all been very excited about. Not only that, but there is going to be about 10 million tokens, assuming that there's a token generation event, that will be distributed to community members that have historically participated in Levana GameFi and Levana products in the past. And the best place to follow us is either on our Twitter, which you probably are already following if you're listening to this, or on our Telegram. You know, we've had a Discord, and we technically have a Discord, but the mods and the community manager of the Discord are no longer with us. So it's been a little bit more difficult to stay on top of those. So we're trying to minimize the amount of channels that the current team is focusing on.
Oh, but I think we lost you there. I'm not sure if you heard me, but the last thing we heard was team, and then that was it. Can you guys hear me? All right, so can everyone hear me? I just want to make sure that I'm not just like over talking right now. All right, well, I guess he's having technical difficulties, so we'll just kind of wait it out here. I know their team is out in Jerusalem, so maybe they're having difficulties with the connection. We were just getting into the good stuff, man. Yep. I was getting excited. Yeah, I can hear. We can hear you now.
Hear me? Oh, awesome. Okay, so let's get back to the beginning of the thread. And again, thank you for your patience, everybody. It's just standing outside in the rain right now. And scrolling up all 75 tweets of this. Okay, so next thing is that we spoke about that 2022 was a hell of a year, you know, but we're more excited than ever for what's in store for Levana in 2023, and you should be too. The market is still in a turbulent space, but it looks like the worst is behind us. Most of the leverage has been, or I should say under collateralized leverage, has been wiped out of the ecosystem, which leaves the builders really as a great opportunity, I should say, to be able to build. And this is going to lead us over the next 13 months into the next Bitcoin halving, which historically has been a really good time to be involved in the crypto space. Now, internally, there's been a lot of restructuring and work on rebuilding the team. Our marketing efforts have wound it down. We no longer have a marketing team. And headcount was reduced from the height of what it was in June of last year by about 80%, from about, I think it's, around 50 full-time people to around 8 full-time people. And new leadership has been brought in. So we have, we welcome this year with a new head of product, new head of R&D, legal team, and other people involved. We've really been focusing on building the first fully collateralized modular perps decks in crypto. And it's something that you can play with now. It's not something theoretical. It's something that is fully functional. Some of the bells and whistles, and you can get data launch. It's 30x leverage launch.
If you can hear me, you're getting kind of rugged again. The last thing we heard was about basically 30x leverage. But like it was kind of choppy before that, even I didn't really understand that. Good old Twitter, good old internet, good old 2023. Shout out to Twitter Spaces. Ruining our time right now. Trying to have a good time with all of you and learn at the same time. But it's really hard to whenever it keeps getting cut out, unfortunately, sadly. I could potentially host the space and we could all just join back up. Maybe that'll work. I'm not quite sure if that'll work. It sounds like it may just be your connection, unfortunately. But it's worth a shot. I think all of us want to get down to the nitty gritty here. Trying to hatch some eggs out here, you know what I mean? Want to hatch some eggs. Let's go. We might be hatching some eggs right now. It might be the whole decoy here. Let's do this. Well, anyone, like, I'm not going to lie, like, I haven't been able to, like, keep up with everything. So, like literally today I was excited because I was going to get to learn some stuff. It's been a while since I've talked to Levana team, to be honest with you. It's I know they're looking to launch. I think the goal was set for Q2. I hope I'm not taking any thunder away, but Q2 on Osmosis.
All right, and then right here, the man got rugged so hard it actually knocked him off the internet, and they had to start up another space. So here is that other space.
Okay, jumping right into this, because the technical difficulties make it very challenging to this update. All right, so here we are. We're Levana. I'm Jonathan Karras from comms at Levana. Levana builds a perpetual swap for Osmosis. We just, after about a five-week sabbatical from Twitter and social media, so we just gave out a huge update, and we're going to run through it. The beginning of the update says, get ready for Cosmos growth in 2023. Levana is excited to be a part of this adventure. Levana path to launch is clear, and you can read our blog post, or you can listen to this Spaces. So Lavana in 2023 has exciting news. Lavana is hard at work on our highly anticipated Osmosis Perp launch, targeting Q2 of 2023. Now, anything that we say in this recording should not be taken as financial advice, and it should not be any forward-facing statement or statement about an activity in the future. Should be viewed as a caveat that it's very hard to build, it's very hard to do things, and plans change at any time. For any reason, so without any notice. So as long as everybody understands that, then we're welcome to go through this. Think of Lavana Perps as a GMX for Cosmos. It's new, innovative, and packed with features. And egg holders from the those who had nested eggs on Terra and warped those eggs over to Juno. So those eggs will be are intended to be integrated into Lavana Perps, which will be released on Cosmos, hopefully this year. And so the intention is that by combining your eggs into the Perps platform, then they will hatch into the long-awaited Lavana Dragons. And stay tuned for more information on our governance token launch. There will be roughly 10 million tokens that will be distributed to the community, specifically around people that participated in Lavana's historical GameFi applications. If you're not familiar, Lavana launched about a dozen games between Terra and Juno. This is a long update, so if you prefer, you can always read about this through our blogs, which you can find on our Medium. And we start off with that 2020 was a hell of a year. We're more excited than ever for what's in store for 2023, and you should be too. Initially, there's been a lot of restructuring and work on rebuilding the team. Marketing efforts have wound down. The headcount was reduced by 80%. We're roughly 8 full-time people today. And new leadership has come in, specifically around head of product, head of R&D, legal, and others. What have we been building? So progress on building the first fully collateralized modular perp stacks in crypto has been significant. We've made a lot of progress over the last few months. And you can play with the most recent beta on beta.lavana.exchange. The features that we're excited to include in it are, we intend at launch that there should be 30x leverage long and short, there should be stop losses, limit orders, take profits, there should be low fees compared to some of the other perps platforms in the market, there should be artificial slippage, dynamic funding rates, peer-to-pool orders, so that means kind of like working with Uniswap, there should be fully collateralized positions, there should be rewards for being a liquidity provider. The intention is to launch with an Atom market and it will be deployed on Osmosis. Now, further down the line, what we hope to see launch later in the year is the ability to export history, robust API access, sample code for third-party developers such as Python and TypeScript. There should be premium memberships, which there will be NFT. You know, the intention is to have NFT integration to define premium memberships. There should be advanced dashboards to let you make good decisions or better decisions about what it is about your trading strategies. There'll be various farming rewards with token emissions, a DAO governance platform launched, various Easter eggs, a gamified onboarding, bots for market neutral strategies such as cash and carry, and then other markets such as Osmosis, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and staked Atom, and possibly others. And then multi-chain deployment. So meaning that not just deployed on Osmosis, but also on other platforms as well. Now, it's worth mentioning that after months of limited success in attracting large traders to get interest into this innovative design, mostly because people couldn't understand the branding and didn't understand the product vision, the decision was made to rebrand the Perps platform to focus on the needs of institutional traders. This has been a big success. Since kind of cleaning up the look and feel of the product and the marketing material, institutions have been able to focus really on some of the core technical innovations that have gone on underneath the hood. And there's been lots of positive feedback for, you know, a GMX style product built on Cosmos. So very excited to see, you know, the positive sentiment there. It was important in talking to these providers that there was a comprehensive risk assessment of the platform, especially with the attacks on Mango Market and Drift and, you know, the various insolvencies around perpetual finance and other perps platforms. And these risk assessments have bared a lot of fruit, and a lot of confidence has come into the underlying technology around the platform. And currently, the team's primary focus is on bringing the perps platform to market. And it's unique for, it's different than other perps for a number of reasons. Number one is that the biggest risk to current leverage programs is insolvency. Insolvency is when the platform is required to pay out more funds than actually are within the platform itself. Now, in that case, you need to either a bailout or you need some type of insurance platform, but it's not a good position for any of this to be in. And Levana Perps is designed to prevent insolvency through the unique design that the core team has come up with over the last 9 months. And Levana Perps will be the first to offer leverage trading for the Osmosis Zone. And Osmosis continues to grow as the central hub that binds the cosmos together. Levana will launch with one market, Atom, and this is to have focused liquidity around the Atom market, because Atom trading is still the vast majority of the trading which is found within Cosmos. And you can really think of Atom as the heart of Cosmos. The platform is designed to be modular, meaning that it doesn't require a large amount of capital to relaunch it on networks such as Juno or Kajira or Terra or Sai or Injective or other markets. So Levana is excited to see instances of Levana Perps deployed onto multiple different platforms or multiple different Cosmos zones. And also Levana uses crypto collateral and intends to add liquid staking markets, meaning that you open up a position not by putting in USDC or other stablecoins, but you actually open up an Atom token by depositing Atom as collateral. You know, you provide liquidity as Atom as the liquidity for the Atom market. So this means that it's relatively low lift to use liquid staked versions like ST Atom or ST Osmos in order to be able to launch markets, which means that you can, that even while you have positions open or while you're a liquidity provider, you still can be earning rewards, the staking rewards from staking to a validator. And Levana aspires to have a gamified onboarding experience that will help introduce a new audience to trading perps. And, you know, we've been very impressed with what we've seen, like at Osmosis, you know, crew3.xyz and a few other of these gamified onboarding experiences, which help encourage new users to come and to try different parts of the platform, and then they can level up and earn points and things like that. So there is intention to be able to incorporate that type of onboarding into the experience. Now, to compare Levana to other platforms, you know, we looked at GMX and GNS and similar other platforms, and we saw many good things. Like, for example, on GMX, it uses crypto collateral, as I mentioned before. It's peer-to-pool, as I mentioned before. It can support any type of crypto asset. It's got a referral program, which is super useful and has shown itself to be successful at inspiring growth. It has NFT integration, and it's fully on-chain. But it has some downsides to it. Like, for example, it's not capital efficient. You know, at any time, there are many pools that are under 25% utilized. It has high fees, and there's contagion risk between one market and the next, meaning that if one market was to crash, like there was in the Luna crash, then that would negatively affect many other markets within the system. And if you want to get a little bit more technical, there's no mechanism in GMX to inspire delta neutral markets, meaning that there's no funding rates, longs are not paying shorts. And because of the fact that all liquidity is pooled, it becomes friction in adding new markets. And then again, because all of the liquidity is pooled, it means that it's cumbersome to be able to launch it on new chains. So those were all technical elements that Levana intended to improve upon. Now, I don't think that it's the right medium to get into such detailed analysis of the fee structure, but one of the major negative points against GMX and many other perps platforms. I don't mean to just pick on GMX. It's just, you know, they're the most popular, so it just rolls off the tongue. But in many perps platforms within DeFi, it's rather expensive to open positions, especially when you compare it to centralized alternatives. And so one of the things that that the Levana core team did was take a look at, if you were to open a $100 a collateralized position and leave it open either for a day or for a week, what would be the total fees that you would pay on that position? And what we saw is, and you can try this yourself, is that it's anywhere from $2 to $20, depending upon market conditions and, you know, what the, you know, how popular it is, how bullish everyone is, or which market that you chose. And so then we compared that to the theoretical fees that you would have if you were to open the same positions on Levana. And we saw very competitive rates where Levana was able to provide the same service, but at a lower fee. And one of the core ways that Levana is able to provide this is that Levana has both a borrow fee, and it really has four aspects. One is a combination of borrow fee, funding rate fee, artificial slippage, and limited something called max gains. And so I'll address each of these. So when you have both a borrow fee and a funding rate, so then what that means is that you, depending upon how the market shifts, your fee, the market will become more market, more delta neutral, which means that it's less of a risk to LPs. LPs are only at risk of losing funds when they're essentially taking the counter side of the trade. If the platform in and of itself is delta neutral, so then the LPs are taking lower risk. And if LPs are taking lower risk, then they don't need to be compensated as much, because risk and fees go hand in hand. So that's one aspect. Another aspect is that we target a higher utilization ratio because both long and shorts are using the same notional assets. Whereas in platforms like GMX, where when you're taking short positions, you're borrowing stablecoins. When you're taking long positions, you're borrowing notional assets. So then that creates a two siloed liquidity pools, which in the case of GLP is unified, but still at the end of the day, there's always going to be a highly utilized portion and a low utilized portion. And so that means that the fees from the low portion need to be acquired from the high portion, which means that just in general, there needs to be a higher fee exposure. Another thing is the artificial slippage, which means that as large positions are coming in, so then they will be, instead of everyone having to share the fees in order to be able to take on the risk of the imbalance created by large positions, that risk can be taken on by just the large traders that are taking those positions on, which means that you have a higher concentration of fees amongst the traders that are actually imbalancing the network. And then the last, which I think is the most innovative, and I apologize if I'm running through this too quickly, so maybe I'll pause after this, is that you don't need to take on a borrow fee for the entire notional position relative to the leverage that you are exposed to within the market. You can actually set a take profit at a lower price point, and then you pay a lower fee because you actually put less stress on the system. And so to outline that, with clarity, imagine that you put in $1,000 worth of Bitcoin and you want to take a 10x leverage. So now you have a 10,000, you're essentially exposing the network and yourself to a $10,000 long Bitcoin position. But let's say that you wanted to take an automatic take profits at a 200% gains. So that means that the system can actually calculate how much needs to be allocated in order to keep your position fully collateralized, in order for you, the network, to always guarantee that you'll be able to walk away with $2,000 worth of Bitcoin. Now, the $2,000 worth of Bitcoin is obviously significantly less stress on the network than securing $10,000 worth of Bitcoin. So even though you have 10x exposure, your take profits at the 200% take profit point means that you put less stress on the system, and then the system can charge you less for that. So I just ran through a whole bunch of subjects. I hope it wasn't overly complicated or too fast. You know, I know we had technical difficulties in the first two times that we tried to run this spaces. And so I'll pause right there and answer any questions. Haas, if you have any questions or you want to walk through anything, or if anybody else has any questions.
That round of applause was for you for being undeterred after your third time of trying to get it going. That was good. I appreciate just the pushing forward there. That was amazing. And then also, yeah, that was a lot to take in, but you know, my senses were a lot of like I was itching there a little bit. There was a lot of degenerate talk there, which I'm all for it, you know. And like we were saying earlier, like none of it's to be construed as like financial advice, but for like Cosmos ecosystem DeFi, you know, Cosmos DeFi ecosystem, it needs to flourish, and you know, all these different tools can make that happen. You know, we do. I firmly do believe that we have the best tech in all of crypto, but we're missing a lot of different things that you know other ecosystems have. So I'm definitely very interested in this. I guess my question, it's more to do with Lavana, but also with like the whole, because I love NFTs. So like, I literally just bought a dragon on Loop Finance, like just a floor one to see what it is. But like, what's the difference? I know like the rarity style, but I guess as the protocol goes live, I'm assuming like the egg would hatch. I apologize for not being like real in tune with like the whole, like how all the mechanics of that work.
No problem. So happy to jump into the NFT sector. I don't recommend that anybody go out and get an NFT. I think that the people that have the NFTs should just keep them. You know, they're not designed to be used for trading. They should just be, you know, kept for the people that currently have them. But putting that to the side, the NFTs have four different tiers. So they were designed as common, rare, ancient, and legendary. And while it isn't set in stone exactly the core integration with the protocol will be, there are a few different elements that there's been excitement to integrate. And so to kind of run through that, one is to have reduction in trading fees. You know, trading fees are a big hindrance to many strategies of degenning, especially when you get into larger players. You know, you can end up eating up a massive percentage, whether it's, you know, as I said before, in a $100 position, the fees could be from $2 to $20. So anything that you can do to reduce that, this is definitely a premium feature. And then there's additional leverage. You know, there's only so much. Every time that you have leverage on the system, it creates more stress on the system. So there can only be a limited amount of positions at any time that can take an extended amount of leverage. So ensuring that the accounts, that it's really the premium accounts that have access to those higher leverage, makes a lot of sense. And you can see that kind of like in an airport, there's only so many people that can go to the lounge, and so they make sure that the premium members, the flight club, or the airline, the frequent flyer club, whatever it's called, they're the ones that get access to the premium lounge. And then also to look at in terms of like literally a lounge, integration into premium chat groups, whether it's on Discord or Telegram, that makes a lot of sense. And if we look at, the other platforms that, that we're really impressed with, so we can look at, GMX, DYDX, and GNS, they each have NFTs, and each has a different use case, which, in many cases is supported by various levels of community development. So, you know, GMX, the community-led project Blueberries, which integrates into the GMX platform, includes, you know, it has its own roadmap. It has interesting features such as customization to the front end. It has mirror trading on various accounts. It's got, you know, exclusive Discord channels, you know, and various other bells and whistles that they're constantly coming out with, you know, new features, you know, for the Blueberry members. And then DYDX has their NFTs Hedgies, which are for trading fee discounts, which I said before. They're also allow you to participate in team-based trading competitions. You can enter into leagues, which, you know, we're big fans of group competition. And then, you know, if you look at the Gains Network, their GFarm2 NFTs, they actually give you boost to LP rewards. They give you API access, which is incredibly important to, you know, to large, you know, to larger players that don't want to use the web front end, but rather want to just connect through API access. And something that's I think is super cool is they have spread reduction. I mean, you can actually get a better price. You have lower slippage if you have an NFT. Now, again, you know, it's until the product launches, and to be clear, Lumana is not going to initially launch with any type of premium feature. You know, just the core product, the very vanilla MVP product, is going to launch. But these are the types of integrations that we've seen have been very successful for adoption within other perpetual swaps, and it makes sense to since we've got such a wide and robust community of GameFi enthusiasts, it makes sense to incorporate these types of utilities into Lavana. And I think also the community's feedback will be very helpful in determining prioritization and focus when it comes to, you know, various levels of integration. So it's while it's still to be determined, and there's no official timeline for any of this, these are the types of integration that get, you know, the core team really excited.
Yeah, that's exciting stuff right there. So I guess my follow-up is not necessarily about the NFT side of things, because you obviously just answered basically everything to down to the dot. So I appreciate that. But what would it look like? What's the vision of, like, let's just say I'm like an average Osmosis user and I want to like take part in it. Is there going to be something different? Excuse me. Is there going to be something different on like the UX if when I go onto like Osmosis? Like, how's that going to kind of look?
So that's it's a good question. You know, we are working hand in hand with the engineering team with Osmosis, because there is a lot of, you know, Osmosis has a lot of customizations of their Cosmos instance over something that's you know, more let's call it like puristic, like you would find in Juno. And so there's been, you know, a lot of collaboration between the teams to be able to ensure that Lavana can run and operate and integrate within Osmosis. It's unclear how that will be reflected in the front end, but assuming that you have liquidity in an Osmosis wallet, then when you open up the Lavana app, you'll see your balance there, and then you'll be able to open up a leverage position, either long or short, initially with Atom and then with other popular assets found within the Osmosis ecosystem. And I can imagine, although, you know, I don't have any inside information, I can imagine that could extend to some type of front-end integration. But I think that would, you know, that would be something that would be down the line after launch, if it was to ever happen.
And then I heard you earlier, you were referring to Atom. So like what's the goal? How many LP pools that people can like take out a position against?
Well, one thing that's interesting with the LP pools is that it's worth mentioning that it's single-sided. So meaning there's no impermanent loss. You would just deposit Atom, or you would just deposit, you know, Bridge Bitcoin or Ethereum or Kuji or Juno or other assets. So in theory, any, there could be any token which is either an IBC token or CW20 token, which are the tokens that you find within the Cosmos ecosystem, could be used to open markets. There's obviously there's with lower liquidity markets, there's room for manipulation, meaning that, you know, if let's say that a token is only trading, you know, $100,000 a day, so then there's an attack vector where somebody could take a very large leverage short position and then just slowly buy up that asset on spot and then just continue dumping it in order to push the price down and then profit from the depressed price through their leverage short position. So there will be some limitations as to which assets can be listed, but there's no from a technical perspective, there's no cap as to how many different markets could be listed. It really just depends on the being able to adequately provide liquidity to these markets.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that opens up a lot of, like I was saying earlier, like our DeFi ecosystem's missing things like this, which obviously drives demand and volume and things like that. So I'm excited for that, just that facet of it. Because I think, you know, people on the outside of Cosmos, they look and they're like, oh, the volume's not like really great. Although, you know, in my opinion, the volume has been pretty solid for the bear market conditions. I think like even...
Absolutely.
And I don't really necessarily, like, I know that there's a lot of wash trading going on. I'm not saying in Cosmos, but like in crypto as a whole, I don't really necessarily see that much in Cosmos. Because when teams have done it, or like people have been suspected, like the community calls out, you know, those, because like the problem with Osmosis initially was, you know, teams would start up a pool, like an LP position, like, you know, whatever there's paired with Osmo. And then there would be all this like manipulative, like back and forth trading between that. And, you know, people would get upset because like initially like Osmosis rewards incentives were based off of volume. So they kind of, I haven't been real in tune of like how they kind of mitigated that, but they have substantially got rid of that. So like, I really do feel like the volume on Osmosis and Cosmos in general is pretty accurate. So I think that's a good start to everything. And then like I said before, what you guys are adding and also, you know, like I know Mars are going to be able to borrow against and stuff like that. That's just going to be like the tools that these other ecosystems have. Cause I do take part in other ecosystems. Just one, just for curiosity, and two, to try things out. And I see these types of tools on other ecosystems. But the key difference is like even when I'm doing stuff on these other ecosystems, it's very clunky, and I don't get that experience in Cosmos. Like it feels really smooth, and I mean we're obviously the kings of interoperability. You know, like these other ecosystems, they like kind of throw that word out there because it's like a cute, fancy word. But I mean, at the underlying core tech, it's not that good. So you know,
IBC is just having interoperability as a core tenant, not as like an add-on, I think is the killer feature that separates Cosmos from the rest of the ecosystem. And I think that as the ecosystem continues to grow and as more projects need nuanced differentiators, whether it's the way that you collect rewards or the block time or various features that need to be integrated into L1, whether it's around, you know, privacy or oracles or other aspects, that the choice will be obvious to build on Cosmos because you're not sacrificing that interoperability. And so you get the maximum amount of customization without really any type of downside. And I agree with you that, you know, we're lacking some of the core features or the core products. And I think the perps is definitely one of those. And so, you know, Lavana is excited to really help push that forward, you know, with an open source protocol that can be deployed on any chain. And also, one of the things that's so exciting about Cosmos is that because it's proof of stake, you know, every chain really has a natural use case as to why there's going to be a lot of early participants that are uniformly long. And today, there's no real way to hedge that, meaning you can't really hedge effectively or cost effectively an Atom position or an Osmosis position or Kajira or Juno position. And so by having a modular perps where I might take, you know, let's say I have 10, you know, let's say I'm a whale and I have $10 million of Atom. So if there is an effective liquid cost-effective perps, then I could take, you know, I could take $500,000 and put it on perps in a short position and 20 exit. And so now I've got validating, I've got staked to a validator, $10 million of notional exposure. And then and I'm earning rewards, whether it's 16% or 21% or whatever the staking rewards are for that. But then through my short position, I've really hedged my exposure. And so now I'm delta neutral. And as long as the cost of holding that short position is negligible compared to the staking rewards that I get, I'm essentially just profiting without having any, with having very minimal underlying exposure to the asset. And so I think that that having perps is, you know, could potentially be a game changer for the entire Cosmos ecosystem, or I should say having cost-effective perps and having perps that can be deployed on the same chain as where I want to stake to, as opposed to having it, you know, be on some type of centralized hub, because it lowers my risk of participating as someone who is securing the network and as someone who's being compensated through emissions via staking rewards for securing the network. So I can imagine a world where having robust perps within many different Cosmos app chains actually attracts more liquidity to Cosmos because it lowers the risk of participating in consensus within Cosmos as a whole.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that point. It's definitely something we're missing, you know, and full disclosure for those out there, I helped with Osmosis with the support lab from basically when it started in November of 21 until probably late summer of 22. And my journey with them was amazing. And one of the issues, you know, a lot of people had is like, why should I provide liquidity? Like I have all these like open risk, you know, in permanent loss and all these types of things. And like, I really provided LP, not necessarily for just the like potential gains, but it was more just like a noble thing. Like, hey, someone has to do it. Like, you know, if no one wanted to provide LP, then we couldn't live in this decentralized world. And I think like tools like this make it more attractive for those to kind of do things like that. And like what Mars is doing, and, you know, like it's a shout out. And like we were talking about earlier, like interoperability, like it's a complete shout out to interoperability within Cosmos, is that unfortunately teams that basically built on Terra before the crash, you know, they kind of had all their, no pun intended, all their eggs in one basket. And now this is going to allow, you know, teams like yourself to have applications built throughout Cosmos. And this is not like a determinant on like Terra, but just from my experience of everything, is even when before the crash, it was almost like Terra's ecosystem was siloed, because like you couldn't just like, if Lavana had a token or Anchor has a token or all their CW20s had a token, they weren't interoperable throughout all of Cosmos, which is kind of like, in my opinion, almost anti-Cosmos. So like the fact that like Juno, you can have like the CW tokens on like all these different chains, and you know, all the Cosm Wasm enabled and things like that. That's really how interoperability is. And it's nice to see like teams that unfortunately were dealt kind of a bad hand, or just, you know, unlucky, so to speak, are able to kind of migrate over and find a place throughout, you know, the rest of Cosmos, whether that's on Osmosis, Juno, they have their own map chain or a combination of all the things. It's nice to see. And I'm excited for it. Like, I know I can't remember if it was you. I don't think it was you I met down in Texas, but I was excited to see, you know, the teams like Mars and you guys and things like that, that like kind of, you know, were just kind of dealt a bad hand and are able to just take it and move on from it and kind of, you know, relinquish the things that you had over there and kind of just build and go from there. So it's shout out to you guys. And I appreciate all that hard work.
Well, thank you for the kind words. And, you know, I would go so far as to put it the other way, is that I think that we're probably one of the luckiest teams in the space. You know, it's the fact that we're sitting here talking, you know, and it's so many months after the initial terror crash, you know, and just everything that, you know, we've been through, whether it was team infighting, whether it was discrepancy of, you know, vision, whether it was not being able to find a, you know, a new home after the crash, whether it was, you know, technical challenges from migration, whether it was the crash itself, you know, whether it was just like everything, like, you know, all of the cash spent on, you know, building the first version of the program, and auditing it. And, you know, just all of that stuff, like the fact that we're still alive, is something that I'm very grateful for. And, you know, you know, there's plenty of teams that I've spoken to that, I had really strong relationships with that, you know, that the team members just like really rage quit crypto and they're just not here anymore. You know, and I know that even within the Levana team, we had a lot of people that just rage quit crypto after one thing or another. You know, I mean, the FTX kind of was like the nail on the head for some people. I don't know if you got bit by that. I know personally I got bit by that, but, there was, you know, the fact that, again, that we're still alive, means that we're one of the lucky ones. And so I don't want to be ungrateful to that point.
Yeah, it's nice. That's good things to hear. Personally, I wasn't affected by FTX. So like my background is in accounting and I'm not going to sit here and say like I'm smarter than anyone else because I'm not. But I didn't get into the space like as an investor side of things for anyone to hold my crypto. So like I truly believe in decentralization. I mean, that's one of the main points I even got into this space is because at the end of the day, fundamentally, all a blockchain is a decentralized accounting ledger that's perfect in number and that you can build cool applications on top of it. So I know how humans are. Not all humans, but there are some that are just greedy. They're over leveraged. They want to act like prime brokers. They want to take your funds and do like high risk investments and then promise you some sort of return. And most of the times those returns aren't even that much. It's like, maybe it's a little bit better than traditional.
Yeah, BlockFi is 4%.
Yeah, exactly. So like, why would I give you all my money for just something? Because this space is already kind of highly risky as it is. And I'm getting old enough to remember, you know, the ups and downs of traditional Web 2 companies, that these giants that are now, you know, it wasn't unfamiliarized for like Microsoft to take an 80% haircut. And it's just like, I'm a little bit too old for me to give you my money and you say, hey, I'm going to give you some sort of like very small return. You know, like I'm in this space to be here the rest of my life. So like, as much as I like love Cosmos and I'm like a complete IBC maxi, I do own things like throughout crypto. It's more just like a hedge. And, you know, like I believe in IBC. I firmly believe that all blockchains in the future will IBC enable just because it's proven this core technology works. And it's not like it's a competition between them or it like takes value away. In my opinion, just add value that you can just have no friction, be able to securely send data from one place to another and all that type of thing. So, but to kind of go back to my point about.
That's like saying, you know, eventually Ethereum will become a hub of Cosmos.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't see why not. I mean, like, I'm not, like, even, like, the Ethereum statement, like, I'm not, like, super bullish on Ethereum as in, like, there's going to be so many L2s built on it. I'm just bullish on the fact that I believe that it's already happening right now, that every single blockchain will have some sort of route over to Ethereum. So it's like, this is just an ecosystem. You know, it's like it's like if you have a major city or hub in the world and everybody has like a direct flight there, like you just have value just from that simple standpoint. And I just like our technology, obviously.
And there's
works.
There's like the Lindy effect to it is that as more people are familiar with the fact that Cosmos is the hub, so then that causes it to be the hub more. And I think that it also, as a builder, you're attracted to it because it allows you to push off critical questions to later in the build cycle, like when you have product market fit. Like for example, and we're seeing this, you know, very much now, is that, you know, when we when we did the warping of the eggs, so the only place that we could deploy those contracts was on Juno. And so we deployed it on Juno And people were able to take the private keys that were generated on Terra and then essentially remint their eggs on Juno. And but then at the same time, we could still launch perps on Osmosis. And then because Juno and Osmosis can talk to each other, so that means that the products can still talk to each other. And then again, if we, you know, kind of looking at like what Mars is doing with the hub and spoke model, is that they can launch their own, you know, Mars hub, and then they can deploy on Osmosis, or they could deploy on SIA or other networks. And just out of the gate, everything will be able to talk to each other. So unlike if you were building on Ethereum, where you have to think long and hard, you know, am I going to be on Arbitrum? Am I going to be on Optimism? Am I going to be on, you know, Starknet? You know, wherever it is that I'm going to be, you know, that's, I'm essentially being married to that walled garden. You know, Cosmos doesn't create that walled garden, which is a huge breath of fresh air for a developer that, you know, is just trying to dip their toe in.
Yeah, I wish everyone, I mean, I'm pretty sure most of the people in this space probably understand that. But this is fascinating because I spend a lot of time like outside of the ecosystem with developers and teams and just people that are like either covering crypto or been in crypto. And the fact that like so many people don't understand that point and how strong and valuable that is as a core technological piece of like the future is just mind blowing. And like you just said there at the end, you're not restricted, right? Like when you're on like a particular blockchain and you can't migrate or deploy other things on other blockchains, then you're just kind of like at will, like you're at whim of like what that sort of like world is or ecosystem.
And there's significant
nation state. Yeah. And there's so much risk to it too. Like, I mean, that's why you see like for example, like DYDX are like, all right, well, we got to get out of here and have our own app chain. And I think like that's just like I'm the biggest believer in the app chain thesis, just from like every standpoint, even just like on the communitarian side of things. And, you know, it's just adds value and adds like different functionality that you can have regardless if you're a developer, if you're like you founded some sort of tech or you're an investor or you just you want to be a part of the community and things like that. Like you can just look at governance and how significantly more improved it is in our ecosystem compared to others. And, you know, does it need to improve? Yeah. I mean, there's never going to be some sort of perfect solution to like politics and things like that, but you can just look, it's drastically better than others. Like there was someone that was hopped on a space and it was in Cosmos and he wasn't like a cosmonaut. And he was talking about like things that he was like, oh, Cosmos needs this. And it was like, It was like a rap version of so you can vote. It's like, we don't need that. You already get that. I think a lot of people think just because you delegate your token to like a validator that you don't get to vote. And it's like, no, that's not how it is. You get to vote. Now, if you don't vote, they can take your vote and vote on your behalf. But like, I think there's a lot of other ecosystems. I haven't really studied this, but that you don't get that option. And they like build some sort of way around it. Like, oh, well, we're going to give you this like voting token. And it's like, we don't need that. Like, dude, like you were saying earlier, what resonated to me is like the whole core root of like Cosmos was built on this interoperability app chain, multi-chain, interchain like thesis. And these other ones, like you were saying, it's like Jonathan, you were saying, you just like that they're like adding that on at the end. And like, I vision like crypto as a whole, as kind of like building on step like 4 or 5, and they didn't build on step 1 and 2. And like Cosmos since day one has always built from like step 0 to 1 to 2. I mean, in fact, like if you even think about it, like technically, I mean, it's not, I don't see it happen, but Atom can go to 0 and like the rest of the ecosystem still evolve. It's still there because you technically don't even need the Atom token to do any of the stuff that we're talking about today, which is like, that's truly like interoperability and like freedom basically.
Yeah, I mean the Cosmos SDK is the real MVP. It's just such an amazing piece of technology, and you know while I think that that the Atom token does play a core role, you know you could call it from a meme perspective, you could call it from an ideology perspective, you know that it kind of binds everything together. I agree with you that the whole ecosystem could work without the Atom token. I think that there are some challenges that we need to improve upon within Cosmos, and I think a lot of that is on the roadmap. You know, whether it's in interchain accounts, you know, so that it's easier for me as the user to be able to keep track of the total liquidity that I have, even though it might be on 5 different app chains. You know, I think that that's a friction point that people don't understand today. I know the first time that I used Osmosis, you know, it's like I had Atom that I bought from a centralized exchange, and then I put it into Osmosis DEX, and then, you know, I bought a few other tokens, and then I went to an app on that chain, and, you know, the money wasn't there, and so the coins weren't there, and that was a little bit of a confusion, because it was a different it was a different mental model than what you have on Ethereum. But once I got over that, then it was smooth sailing. And I think that we can lower that friction, you know, through things that are currently in the roadmap. So I think in terms of onboarding people from other communities within the crypto space today, will be, you know, in the next, you know, let's say by the end of this year, a lot of the onboarding friction points will already have been dealt with. And, you know, a lot, and also along with wallets, you know, we're going to see a wider variety of wallets, and we're going to see this year is, I really think is like the year of the cosmos. And that's, you know, what Lavanna put in that tweet thread, which is that there's so much exciting stuff that's happening within the cosmos ecosystem, that it's just going to look, it's going to be almost unrecognizable, you know, within 12 months as to where we are today.
I totally agree with you. And it's fascinating to see the growth and development throughout all of the ecosystem. And I'm a firm believer. I'll stick to my point. I always say to people is I really, truly believe once someone uses any, I don't care what it is in Cosmos. Like, I don't care what it is. Just use it. You're going to have a better experience and you're going to stick around. And you're not, I feel like there's no one that goes, oh, Cosmos sucks. It's terrible. The tech is horrible. I'm never coming back. Like it's not the way it is. And, you know, like once you're in this ecosystem and then you do things outside of the ecosystem, it's like really clunky. And, you know, there is a little bit of a learning curve. I agree with you. Like when I was saying earlier, I first helped out with Osmosis when it like first launched, and so many people would come in the Telegram room and say, hey, like I bought Atom. It's not showing on Osmosis. And it's like, hey, you need to deposit it. Just think of it as like a centralized exchange. You actually have to like deposit your assets on it if you want to trade, and like going through that and like interchain accounts, you know, really would rectify that. And I do agree, once there's this like really no friction experience and everything's communicating and all these accounts are like there and all the data is there and your portfolio and like how teams are already starting to deploy like outposts and apps on different chains, and you know, it's really going to be a great experience. And I do like I just say that from my personal experience, because I'm not like some crypto OG. I really got in after COVID happened, and just like my experiences led me to Cosmos just for the simple fact that I kept asking questions. And I think most people that are in this ecosystem, they're really more tech centric, and they do believe in the tech, and they found flaws and like why things weren't working over on these other ecosystems, and it kind of led them here. And I'm just excited like to have this same conversation 1 year from today, because I see the trajectory and the growth of just everything. Like everything is improving, and you know, it's like the slow and steady upgrade here that for just everything. And you know, I just appreciate your time and your guys' efforts to add value in the space. And I really, it's nice to see other chains and teams like help one another out. I think we do need to improve drastically more on the marketing front. We can all maybe take a page of, you know, like Polygon's like marketing, because I think
Polygon just rocks it out. Yeah,
it's top notch. Like it's literally like a I don't know if people like football, but like in America, like the New England Patriots had this like run forever, right? Like they weren't like the best team, like athletically and all the talent and all this type of thing, but they were just like a well-oiled machine every year they were in it. And it's kind of like how Polygon is now. It's like not the best tech, it's not the best teams, but they just know how to like run a business to perfection, really. And it's like we need to like just even tap into like that nuance a little bit. And the part of the app chain thesis and having all these different communities and different, there's not really central points and like figureheads really, but like we need to like maybe tap into that, because like I said, grabbing people's attention just to use things and see why it's better over here. Like I said, we need to do that, because there's so many people. Like I said earlier, I'm on calls with guys that have been in this space longer than I have, and they have like no clue how Cosmos works, or even the simple fact of like what an L1 is really. Like they don't know like truly why an L1 is really important, and like why having, you know, 60, 70 of them be able to communicate simultaneously and send data back and forth, how valuable that is, you know? So.
Yeah, absolutely. So I noticed that we've got a few people that are listening here that weren't on earlier. So I just want to recap as to some of the things that we said before. So Lavana is deploying or intends to deploy a GMX style perpetual swap onto Osmosis and then onto other chains, similar to GMX and DYDX and GNS, how they all have premium memberships associated with NFTs. So too, Lavana Perps will have premium or intends to have premium memberships, and that will be from the previous game assets from Lavana's historical GameFi elements, from the dozen or so games that were deployed between Cosmos or between Terra and Juno. And I want to just double tap a little bit on some of the other projects that we were working on 2022. You know, we were working on a number of projects simultaneously. We were building perps, we were building options trading, we were writing a comic, we wrote a book, a novel, various games, you know, play to earn games, and the NFTs. And so to, you know, at the end of 2022, we started spinning out many of these projects into smaller teams that can put more focus on each one. So to look at each of them, you know, the core team has really just been focusing on building out the perps and getting that to market and ensuring that it's going to work and that it's competitive. And there's just been a massive amount of success that's happened from that that increased focus. You know, the month of December and then subsequently January was by far the most productive development month, I think, since the Terra crash. So I was very happy to see that. In terms of options trading, so options is on hold because, again, it's all about focus. So that project, I would say in terms of code-wise, it's probably about, you know, somewhere between 60 to 80% completed for a European or American-style options platform. And while I am, you know, big options trading fan, I recognize that if the team tries to do too many things at once, they're just not going to succeed at anything. So it's that project of options has been put on hold. And then in terms of, you know, the games, you know, we had migrated over three of the games, actually migrated from Terra two games and then released a new game onto Juno, and then had built at the, in Q4, had finished building a fourth game, which was designed to be released on Terra, and that's called the Council Labyrinth. So Council Labyrinth is actually intended now to be hidden as an Easter egg at some point within the Perps platform. So it'll be a challenge, you know, as like a hat tip to Ready Player One, hidden in Perps. And so it's not going to be available directly at launch, because again, the launch product will be an MVP, but it is something that the developers are pretty excited about, you know, being able to hide something and then, you know, challenge the community to be able to find it. And then, you know, in a larger scale game, like a play to earn role-playing game, that was put on hold at the end of the year. It was just impossible to raise more funds to be able to build that out. And with lack of focus, there was very little tangible progress that could be said was made on that front. We've actually had about half a dozen third-party teams that have reached out to us from an IP perspective, asking to be able to build play-to-earn games on it. We've reviewed a few different proposals. There's, you know, it doesn't look like anything is going to move forward in this year, like 2023, in terms of.
We were doing so good there. You got cut off after 2023, if you can hear me.
Okay, can you hear me? Yeah, I'm just sitting in the dark now. It looks like
yeah. The
whole village. Yeah, sorry, my village lost power.
You were good. I was going to say you were good. It was like you said about ending on 2023. You're getting rugged. Well, take three was very successful. I mean, this was a good time because the first and second one were pretty bad. Oh, you're back. You were getting totally rubbed. Jonathan, can you hear me?
Okay. Am I back?
Yes, you're good right wherever you're at. Just don't move. Just don't move. Oh, no. Well, Jonathan, if you can hear me, basically the last thing we all pretty much heard was like when you were referring to developing the game out with other teams building gaming and metaverse.
Yes, I reconnected. Oh, that was amazing. Can you hear me?
Awesome. Yeah, that's good.
I'm like, so I'm wandering outside by moonlight right now. All right, cool. So let's jump into some question and answers, because I don't know how long it's going to be till these cell phone towers lose power. So does anybody...
Yeah, so for anyone out there... Yeah, I was gonna say if you have any questions, just raise your hand, or you can just ask a question in the chat, and I'll be looking right now. But yeah, let's do it up. If anyone has any questions, I guess while we're waiting, my question. I know it's bad to give like an exact date, but we're still on for quarter two to be on the perps to be on Osmosis.
So we're looking at June 1st. That's the internally the like the stretch date. You know, we'd love to be May 15th, somewhere around there. But if we could hit June 1st, I think that would be an accomplishment.
That's exciting. So that would be, yeah, it's exciting because that would be right around the 2-year anniversary of Osmosis launching. I think it was June 17th of 21 is when they first launched. So it'd be the two-year birthday would be a good way to bring in the 2-year birthday there.
You know, I didn't even know that. That is a great point.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, like Osmosis, like I don't want to show it too much, but it was like basically when I first started really enjoying crypto, just like everything about it, like this new cool tech. It was really smooth. Like I liked, like aesthetically, it looked good. Like on just using it.
Well, I loved the purple and the mad scientist. I thought that was just great, and the magic potions and like everything. You know, it's like the imagery and like it visualized exactly how I feel when I'm interacting with crypto.
Yes, it's always going to have a special place in my heart, like forever. Just like the first time I really felt like a part of something outside of like the real world, so to speak. And so it was just a good time. And, you know, like they just keep building and, you know, it's nice to see it's, you know, within Cosmos, it's always like, hey, it's not like when Binance is when's Osmosis. So like it's like everyone connects and a lot of people don't even realize, but basically every chain connects to Osmosis, even more so than the Atom hub, so to speak. So I always call it the Atom hub instead of the Cosmos hub because it just makes people understand it better. But yeah, it's exciting to see things being built on it now because it's like really, I'm all about decentralization. So it would be amazing to have everything that you can have on a centralized exchange to be on a decentralized exchange. And that's the goal and the prerogative. And that's really when like DeFi can start to flourish, especially in Cosmos. So I'm excited for all this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you really hit the nail on the head. You know, if we can reproduce, basically if we can unpack FTX and put it all onto Osmosis, we're going to be in a really good spot.
Yeah, for sure. So, I guess, well, if anyone had any questions, like more on a personal side for you, like how long have you been into crypto?
I've been here since 2016. So in 2016, well, actually, so in 2011, I was a student at the Jerusalem College of Technology learning computer engineering. And one of my classmates said, I've got this tutorial on setting up a Bitcoin, setting up Bitcoin mining. GPU mining, you know, can you help me go through it? And so we set up some mining and he went off to continue mining. And I was like, well, screw that. I'm, you know, I have no interest in that. You know, Bitcoin has no purpose. And so that was a bad choice. That was when I was first introduced to Bitcoin. But then in 2016, I was introduced to the white paper. And from not even from a tech perspective, but just from an economic and libertarian perspective, that's when I fell in love with Bitcoin. And, you know, I bought my first Bitcoin then. I sent half a Bitcoin to, you know, to one of my investors in a startup that I founded at the time. And like kind of the rest was history.
Yeah, man, it's amazing to hear that. I have a bad Bitcoin story. That's how I got started in the crypto, but it is what it is. I mean, it's amazing to see this. And for those ever having any questions or concerns about like the state of crypto, I always just like go back to a fundamental question: is do you believe there's going to be more people in crypto 1 year from now, or less people? And if the answer is more, then you're probably doing the right thing. It's you're on the right page, so to speak. So, but we have a what's up, Loving?
Sorry, I joined the chat a little late. I really enjoy listening to you guys. I've been a longtime fan of the Laveno program since the beginning, and I remember mentioned about meeting with Vitalik Buterin back in the day. He thought, you know, he won the debate. That's why I invested heavily into the protocol. My question is, for the NFTs, such as the Laveno Rider and the Ape, how is that going to be calculated when you do the airdrops? Thank you.
So the calculation is not fixed, but there is, you know, the intention is for it to be sensical. You know, other, getting more into detail, I think would be unfair because it's not really a decision that I can, you know, that I can make independently. But you know, the general concept is that that it should make sense. And you know, the more rare items, you know, should have you know, that should be their impact on the actual platform. You know, should be respected within the platform itself.
Is that all you wanted, or do you have anything to follow up with that?
No, I appreciate it. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Well, thank you. And, you know, welcome to answer any question anytime.
Yeah, it means a lot. It always means a lot to me whenever, like, anyone kind of shows up during a bear market, because it's just human nature to kind of unplug and just, like, give up. And how you were saying earlier about teams kind of just, like, rage quit and, you know, it's really sad. You know, it's unfortunate when people get to that kind of mental, you know, state of mind, because if they would just kind of take the emotion out and think, for the most part, like, why did they get involved in the first place? It was usually of different types of things, like libertarian points of views, or the fact that for the first time that maybe they can actually understand how much money that they have and their native currency is not getting just like diluted to crap. And, you know, like whatever their cause is, you know, like that, I see it because like my background in accounting, I've dealt with all kinds of different backgrounds and different wealths and different financial wherewithals and things like that. And the common denominator is just like, there's so many things that crypto just philosophically, technologically can just like improve. And I always envision it as like something that's like speed running thousands of years of inequality and kind of putting out some sort of rules and parameters that everyone has to partake in. And well, is it perfect? No, but like it's a solution that kind of just eliminates or mitigates human interaction of just like corruption and kind of giving it a more fair playing ground. And I always respect it, you know, it's just something that, like, I think I say jokingly, but I kind of do mean it. I think it's kind of like humanity's last chance to right so many wrongs, and I do. So it's like that's why I devote time and effort to it, because it feels good. It makes sense to me as an accounting perspective. And again, like, I always think of blockchains as just like a perfect equation, and mathematically just adds up to being what it should be. So. Yeah, it's just like, it's nice to be early and just like, you know, we're just, and at the end of the day, it's risky, but we're like, we're just like early, explorers and things like that. So it's just kind of fun too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched on, 2 points like that. I want to, you know, that I have 2 stories, from recent memory. You know, I was, in December I was in Egypt, and, I was talking to this woman, you know, about, just the tourist industry in Egypt, and you know, she was telling me that that they're really hurting because the Egyptian pound or lira had dropped 50% in recent history. I think maybe it was in the last like 2 or 3 years, and a lot of things were price controlled and just were like it hadn't really been readjusted based on inflation, and it just had really crushed the whole industry that she had worked in, which really. And she had never heard of, she had heard of Bitcoin and she had heard of cryptocurrency, but it was like so far away, from her thoughts. And then, I was in, I was talking to a buddy of mine from Lebanon a few weeks ago. And, he was telling me, he got out of Lebanon 2 years ago during COVID when they first started, or maybe it was a little less than 2 years ago, but when they first started seizing people's money in their bank accounts and limiting how much money that you could withdraw. And, his family had a family business and it just got completely decimated because just like overnight, the money that they had, quote unquote, on the ledger of the bank was just completely inaccessible. And, they couldn't import things. They couldn't get access to it. There was no lending or borrowing. And it just, it really just crushed. And he had to move to another country in the Middle East and just really just start over. So like these types of stories that you hear just make me extremely bullish on the future of cryptocurrency. And it's not even like theoretical. I think that, living like I'm, I saw somebody posted before, they were like, dude, get your stuff together. Like, why do you have such bad internet? Like, I'm like, I'm in a little village with like, a couple hundred houses, like on the middle of the hilltop in the Middle East. And so it's like, you have a different perspective of a lot of things in the world, which you might not have if you live in New York or in San Francisco. And so I think that the use case for Americans might be less alluring, but there's many places in the world that just have really, really crappy access to financial services and tools. And, it's like the same thing as there's places in Africa where they completely skipped landlines and they just went straight to, 5G or LTE networks without even putting in cables for internet access or wired telephone lines for their house. So I think that's what we're going to see with crypto, is that there's just going to be this leapfrog where, huge portions of humanity just skip the whole banking industry that we have or that Americans have, and they'll go straight towards, decentralized finance.
Totally agree. I mean, I've had so many conversations that with people throughout the whole entire world, and crypto's already changed their lives in a positive manner, like substantially positive. And like you just touched on, like the African, pretty much anyone that lives over there can finally have some sort of way of saving and seeing things. And not only that, but even like just documents and proving their identity and just, like a lot of places, they can't even prove that they went to like a university or graduated a school. And, like all this is feasible because, like, think about it, most people on planet Earth have a smartphone nowadays. And so like there's a way that you're in the game. Like before, they weren't in the game. And like there's just so many things, like I was saying earlier about like tech. Unless you were an accredited investor, you couldn't invest in like Steve Jobs building computers in his garage. Like now you can. Like, does all of it work and all of it lead to like greater pastures? Like you have to remember, everything's basically a startup. Even Ethereum's still technically a startup, and there's a lot of turbulence along the way. And you could just look historically at Web2 companies, and like I remember when I sound like an old man now, but like I remember when Amazon first came out as like this really cool bookstore, and you could just get books and write reviews and have any book delivered to your house. And like, I thought that was like the most revolutionary, cool thing ever. And now look what it's turned into. And, crypto is no more than just like the new wave of innovation and in technology, but it's the first thing. It's adding value to everyone and anything. And I'm bullish on it. I've been to these different crypto events during the bear market, and some of them, like for example, I was at Permissionless. Like day three was just traditional finance or accountants or lawyers and all these different realms of life, and they're just there. Like, hey, I don't understand this, but
Permissionless in Lisbon?
No, it was in Florida. It was the Blockworks permissionless event. It was in May. Like oh, right yeah, literally yeah, yeah. It was like yeah, right, yeah, right after the crash.
So I was there.
Oh, okay.
We might have walked past each other.
Probably. Yeah, I helped with Osmosis. We were the only IBC team there, the only Cosmos team.
I went up to the stand. I got the t-shirt. It was the Back to the Future t-shirt.
Yep. And that one of the main reasons everyone came over, because I think we had the coolest t-shirts there. But yeah, like it was a good time there because I got to just educate people. They would come over, they would ask, hey, what's Osmosis? As soon as they ask that question, I know they know nothing about IBC. They know nothing about Cosmos. So I just kind of was explaining things, pull up map of zones, showing them how all these different worlds communicate to one another. We all speak the same language. And it was just a lot of fun. Like, I really enjoy kind of breaking down like complex data to like just for anyone to understand it, you know. And there's definitely a lot of people in this space in our ecosystem that are doing a tremendous job. I think the eco as a whole maybe needs to like kind of figure out a way to get everyone on the same page or to educate others, because you know the tech is there. It's just we need to do, like I was saying earlier about like Polygon, it's just we need to do a better job of just marketing it and just showing why it adds value to like anyone. Like, you know, why would you want to if you're a real company, why would you want to build on something where you can technically either have your own consumer chain or you can technically have your own chain,
or where you're paying taxes to Ethereum stakers, you know, to early investors in Ethereum. Like, if you can launch your own validator set, so then you get to decide the monetary policy and the tax collection for the economy that you're creating, as opposed to being limited to what the one that was decided by the early oligarchs of the system. And I think that that's a fundamental difference. That at the end of the day, you know, I mean. Well, what is it that they say? Like, eventually, you know, if you stick around long enough, you become the, the Dark Knight Batman quote. Like, you become the enemy that you initially went to defeat. I'm sure there's a more eloquent way to say that quote, but you get the point. And so I think that eventually we're going to see that with other of these giant networks that the incentives will become misaligned to newcomers into the ecosystem, and Cosmos is uniquely designed to prevent that from happening.
I totally agree. I always use like the landowner, like, why, if you can get a nice piece of land and create your own crops and your own freedom there and your own sustainable ecosystem of living, why would you not want to do that and have someone just keep charging you amount so much to pay for rent and like your land, and they want a sales tax on when you sell your crops and everything else, you know. And there's just so much positivity about it, and I think slowly but surely, you know, people will find out, they will get into it, and we just need to do a good job of onboarding new people, not kind of fighting over the pre-existing people. Because if you think about it, there still isn't that many people of the populace in the world that use crypto. So, you know,
yeah, I think it's a rounding error at this point.
Exactly. So, you know, I think this whole notion of like kind of fighting over pre-existing users isn't like the best approach. And I'm just excited to see this next whole year. And I just, like you were saying earlier, there will be a time and point that Cosmos will be the literally the talk of town, because there's just so many positive things that you can do from any perspective, whether you're an investor, a founder, a developer, you just like the whole being a part of something. And you truly are, you know, like, even like Ethereum, like how many people can really truly make a difference with like governance? And like, there really isn't anyone, but like in these ecosystems, you know, you do make a difference, whether you own like 5 Atom, 10 Atom, you know, maybe it's a little bit better for someone that owns a bunch of Atom, but you can still be a part of it. And there's all these Twitter spaces, and like, I'll end this whole rant on like, one of the reasons I got super bullish on Cosmos was like a Friday night. I never even knew what Twitter space is. Full disclosure, didn't even have Twitter before like last Thanksgiving in 21. And it was a Friday night. Some guys were talking about Cosmos. Now they're the Cosmos space team. But anyways, I buzzed in, started talking about Cosmos. It wasn't because of me, but there was only like five or six people that night. No one was really invited. And that space turned into 250, 300 people. And it was like every founder in Cosmos and all these different chains is coming by talking about Cosmos and what they got going on in the future. And just like that energy was so good. And that kind of motivated me to start doing any of this stuff. And like, what other time were you going to get a bunch of like CEOs of a company just to come by for free and just like talk shop? Like, it just doesn't happen. So like that point right there, just
it's the builder mentality. You know, there's a lot of just really passionate builders in this ecosystem.
Yeah. I mean, it just feels good. Like, that's all I can say about it. You know, like, everything that I've done or spoke to, it feels like even when I was in Florida and Texas and I met fellow cosmonauts, it's like I knew these people my whole entire life. They're a complete stranger from wherever, but it felt like family, you know. And I just it feels good, you know. Like, I can't guarantee the future, but I really firmly believe if like crypto is going to work and it's going to be to where we want it to be, that IBC and like some of these different chains are going to be like an integral part of the future of crypto. So I always spend my focal point on Cosmos. I do look at other things outside of it, but it's more to like help educate these other people. Like, look, yeah, you like doing this, this, and this, but we already offer all that plus more, and you can be an actual part of it. And I'm just excited, man. Like, I love talking shop, and especially anything Cosmos related. So, you know, I appreciate your team, your grind, and like your efforts. And I'm excited to see like the future of it, and being like on the side of like NFTs, being able to mesh like NFTs into trading and all that's just really exciting for me on a personal
level. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that there's a lot of good references, you know, that we can learn from. And I think that that's one of the beauties of this space, is to just constantly keep trying to innovate and to looking at what other projects are doing. You know, like we mentioned, GMX's blueberries, you know, and DYDX's hedgies, and just saying like, what's the good that we can take and incorporate, and you know, what's the bad that we can improve upon, and then also how can we innovate? So I'm curious if anybody, you know, we've been at this for a while now. If anybody else has any other questions, happy to answer the questions. But I think that this is a good cutoff point, and we're gonna work to make this more frequent. You know, I don't know if we'll have. At Levana, we'll have weekly spaces or twice a month spaces, you know. But we'll figure out what the right cadence is, and you know, come up with some interesting topics. And if you are not following us on Twitter, you know, please follow us on Twitter. If you're not connected to our Telegram, you know, please join our Telegram. If you haven't played with the you know, beta.levana.exchange, you know, definitely go and check that out. And you know, keep an eye out for the incentivized trading program. Which we'll be launching probably in about 2 months. So we'll have more information coming out about that, about, you know, rewards and, you know, how to enter. And
Jonathan, you're getting completely rugged right now.
Hopefully a little too far. Possibly even a little bit earlier. And then we will be, you know, we'll just, be rushing to mainnet. You know, we're excited to ship this thing. It's been a long time coming. So if anybody has any other questions, you know, feel free to raise your hand or to request to come up. And if not, then we'll call it a night.
Yeah, it was a great conversation, man. I appreciate it. And think of me as like a tool. I'm always here to help. I love Cosmos. I love teams that are building value and adding value and different ideas and perspectives. And I personally want to be doing this the rest of my life. It's way more fun than like looking at numbers and taxes all day. And you know, I just thing. You know what I mean? It's just like every day you get to learn something new. And like today I got like on this conversation because I haven't had the time to like really dig in and see what you guys have been up to lately since like our last conversation, really, in Texas it was in Texas. Yeah. And, I always get excited to like, just talk shop and on a selfishly, I get to learn. So that's always a positive too. And, you know, I appreciate everyone that tuned in and just listened to us kind of just rant and talk shop. And, I'm here to help. So like, if anyone ever had any questions, you can always reach out to me as well. And yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good way to end it on. And you were saying about the future shows, I'm always here to help. So I love doing this. So definitely.
Awesome. Thanks so much. We'll definitely take you up on that. So thanks everybody for listening, and stay tuned. We'll keep you guys posted on our progress.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was What is Past is Prologue, a look into Lavana's DeFi future. Hosted by Lavana Protocol and Cosmos Haas. Recorded on Monday, February 6th, 2023. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. If you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support, meow.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep your hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two, help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Laser beam focus, star scream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all a wreck with a dead man swagger. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man, play a little ditty then. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man, play a little ditty then. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. No one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol. But it didn't matter, we was all hyped up. When the pedal lit the metal, he just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop. Ride off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth. Slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. Den envision in the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man, play a little ditty then. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Terra Spaces.